You are listening to Fire School of Ministry podcast from the South Island of New Zealand. From revival to reformers to relationships, Fire School aims to train and equip followers of Jesus to take the gospel to the very ends of the earth. Find Fire School of Ministry, New Zealand on Facebook.
Prophets in the Bible and in the Injil, and we thank you so much that we can learn so much from Prophet Joseph. And we simply ask that you would speak to us, that you would reveal your Son Jesus to each and every one of us. Lord, I thank you for my friends here. I really do. I thank you that there are so many different cultures here, so many different languages, so many different backgrounds. But ultimately, Father, we want to know you. And that's our prayer tonight as we bow before you and read your word together. Bless us, we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at this character, Prophet Joseph, and he's fairly popular. So we're going to give, he's got a very big story in the Bible. And so we're going to give him 4 weeks, I think. So this week, I'm not going to be able to tell you everything about the prophet. Others will tell you about him. But I'm just going to give you a little bit of background, okay? And bring some similarities between Joseph and Jesus, and then ask you some questions about their lives and that you can bring together. So he comes from the line in the Bible of his great-great-granddad was Ibrahim, or Abraham. Abraham had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. And through the line of Isaac, Isaac had a son called Jacob. And then Jacob, or Yaakov, is the father of Joseph. That's where Joseph fits in the Bible. So he's the fourth generation down from Ibrahim. This is great. I always love putting the maps up at FFF because I've preached around the world, Brian, and I've preached in England, I've preached in Ireland, Poland, Kazakhstan, I've preached all over. But this is the only fellowship that when you stick a map of the Middle East up, everyone goes, oh yeah, that's where I live. Look, that's home for some of you. It's awesome. Sorry, us white Westerners, most of us look at this map and we go, where's that? We don't know where it is, but you know where it is because it's where you're from. So if you look at the red line there, most of you know where this is. Ur of the Chaldees, or the Babylonian Empire. This is modern-day Iraq, I do believe. Yep. So been in the news this week. This is the journey of Ibrahim, or Avraham in Hebrew. He starts out on the right-hand side here. He travels up through Iraq, past Mosul, into regions of Kurdistan, as you know, and then back down in through Syria, down through Lebanon, and then into the land of Israel, and then over into Egypt. He makes a trip out over into Egypt on the left. And the story that we're going to pick up is all about the journey from Israel to Egypt. So Joseph is in this story. He gets taken as a slave into Egypt, and that's the story that we're going to be talking about. There's Isaac at the top of the page. He's one of the sons of Abraham, and you can see the descendants. Isaac had a son. He had two sons, Jacob and Esau. They were twins. But from the Jacob line, you have the 12 patriarchs, Reuben, Simeon, Gad, Levi. And then right at the bottom there, second youngest, is Yosef in Hebrew, or Yusuf in Arabic. And he was Jacob's favorite son. Now, who comes from a big family? Who thinks they come from a big family? Either your siblings or your mother and father had lots of children. We're going to have a competition here. Now, remember, I'm from Ireland, half Irish, half English. So Irish Catholics, which is what I'm, my ethnic background is, we are known for having big families, okay? So this is normal. Okay, this, you know, I want to have a competition. This is always good fun. Who thinks they come from a big family? Now, I've got eight children. I've got eight children, so that's, this is a starting point. Okay, now, my sister here, how many?
My grandparents have 10.
Whoa. Your grandma had
15 children, and five of them passed away.
Wow. So,
yeah,
your grandma.
10 uncle and my grandma.
Whoa. 10. So, your mother and father. Mother? Your. Maternal side, so your mother is one of 15, essentially. That's nothing compared to the Irish. Yes. Yes, Mikey.
My uncle's got 32 kids.
Your uncle's got 32 kids. How many wives? Ah, you see? All right, 16. That's only 16 each, though, all right? 26 sons and 6 daughters.
26 sons and 6 daughters.
My goodness. Okay. Anyone beat 32? That's a little bit over the top.
Paul. I pray to have more.
You have one, but you pray to have more. That's good, Paul. I'm so pleased you could bring that. That's lovely. Well, my
five. One wife.
Yeah, just one wife. Yeah. So, hey, look, we're used to some big families here. Who is also, give me some numbers, who is one of, let's see, you have more, just in your siblings, so your brothers and sisters, let's say more than five. That's quite a lot, five. So five or more. Okay, hands up, five or more. Look around, look at that. That's good, man. Bit of procreation in the room. God bless your parents. How many, Bahra?
Seven.
This is beautiful number. Seven. Beautiful, small family, very containable. Yes.
Nine.
He's got nine. Bus. Respect for the Dutch, mate. That's awesome. And how about you? Had 10. Well, I did 10. My grandparents, can you believe this? 17 children. One man, one woman, 17 children, 22 pregnancies. Five died, 17. Oh my goodness. So this is quite normal for me. I feel sorry for you guys that only get a single child. Who is an only child? Oh, just one. Brian, really?
My mother was one of nine.
Your mother was one of nine, but you were one.
Yeah, because I nearly told
her
being born.
Oh, she gave... That's it. Oh, thanks. Well, anyway, here's your big family. So that's good. We're in good company here today. And here they all are. These are all the famous 12 tribes of Israel. So each tribal grouping. And there you've got the youngest one, Benjamin. But you see Joseph at the bottom right. He is the favorite son. And if you know anything about sibling rivalry, if you know anything about brothers and sisters, you know when mum and dad, I've got eight kids, and we, one of our children, our youngest, oh my goodness, if you give a portion bigger to one of the other ones, she sees it. She can tell. My sister was so psycho, my older sister, she was such a psycho when it came to sharing. She would say, if we had a piece of cake and one knife, she would say, "You cut, I'll choose." Like, what that means is you'd have to cut the piece of cake right down the middle, because she just didn't want to get the smaller piece. She was that kind of sister. I know that you all come from families that never fight. No, you've never had a fight. I understand. All your families have wings like little angels and they flutter around, don't they? Hello, God bless you. Yeah, I understand. But my family's normal. Okay. And Joseph, he was given a very nice coat. Emma, would you like to show everyone your coat? Because Emma got Emma's coat. She just so happened to be wearing this coat today, which I thought was quite funny. And this is Emma's mother's coat, her late mother. And Emma got this off her late mother. But it's just very interesting. It's similar to Joseph's coat. Joseph was given something very flash to wear. His father really loved him. And guess what all his other brothers said? Because they were like your brothers. They were all holy and in the Bible and really nice. They all said, "We're going to kill him. We're going to kill him. We don't like him." You say, they did not say that in the Bible, did they? They did say that in the Bible. It's recorded. They wanted him dead because he was favored by the father. The father loved Joseph more than all the other sons, and they didn't like it because jealousy is very real, isn't it? Yeah. Even people in FFF. So Joseph... You do understand English sarcasm, don't you? You understand what... I hope you understand sarcasm. You're going to walk away very offended today if you don't understand. You need to Google Monty Python. All right, anyway, that's another story. All right. So the story of Joseph appears quite a lot in the Bible, and we'll be covering this over 4 weeks. It's mainly in Genesis 37 and then 39 through 50. Now, notice that's seven chapters in the Bible. Many of the prophets mentioned in the Bible do not get this amount of text. He gets mentioned a lot. So there's obviously a lot to learn from his story. He's also mentioned in Psalm 105. It says 106 there, but I got it wrong. He's also mentioned in Acts chapter 7. That's in the New Testament. He's mentioned five times. He's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Among all the other prophets, Moshe, Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov, they're all mentioned in Hebrews 11, and then he's also mentioned in the book of Revelation. In other traditions, Joseph's descendants are talked about in the book of Numbers, in the book of Joshua. His descendants are Manasseh and Ephraim. Interestingly, in the Quran, in Surah 12, is one of the most complete chapters in the Quran. If you know the Quran, I've studied Quran like many of you. The Quran is interesting. It's very random in the way it speaks. So it has very few complete stories. But the Surah 12 is one of the only complete stories in the Quran where it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And guess who it's talking about? Yusuf. So it's interesting, even the Quran, the one story that is a complete story within the Quran is in Surah 12 and in Ayah 1 calls Joseph's story the most beautiful of narratives. So the Quran recognizes that this is, the writer of the Quran recognizes that this is one of the great stories. So I think we need to listen and learn from it. Also in Islamic tradition, Ibn Kathir has written extensively about it. His tafsir commentaries on the Quran, he's written extensively. Ibn Hishaq, they've written as well. A lot of different, and in Persian culture, some of you may be able to help me, the story of Joseph when he gets sexually tempted by Potiphar's wife, that becomes a great poetry in Persian culture. You can see that there's lots of stories that kind of spin off from Joseph. So he's an interesting character, and we're going to find out one little point about him today I want you to pick up on. Psalm 105, why don't we turn there in your Bibles here, look, and it's page 461. This is going to be a very short talk because I'm aware of the time. Page 461, and this is Psalm 105. And what the Psalms do, they're not just, the Psalms of Dawood, they're not just songs to God. Often they're remembering songs, so they're remembering the history of the Jewish people, of God's people. They're remembering back to the prophets of old. And in verse 16, it says, "He called down famine on the land and destroyed..." I'll read it from the book down here. It's a different version up there. "He called for a famine on the land of Canaan, cutting off its food supply." This speaking of God. "Then he sent someone to Egypt ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with fetters and placed his neck in an iron collar. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Then Pharaoh sent for him and set him free. The ruler of the nation opened his prison door. Joseph was put in charge of all the king's household. He became ruler over all the king's possessions. He could instruct the king's aides as he pleased and teach the king's advisors. That's it there. So I just want you to see what was happening. A famine hit the land of Israel. In verse 16, if you look at it, there's a different version up on the screen. It says, God called down famine on the land, verse 17, but he sent a man. Joseph got sent to Egypt, but he got sent because his brothers hated his guts and sold him to a bunch of Ishmaelites, descendants of Ishmael. They came along, bought Joseph, took him as a slave, a bit like modern day ISIS, you know, they're taking slaves, or Boko Haram in Nigeria, something like that, taking slaves, took them in slaves and put him in prison. Yet the Bible says God sent him into this situation. Joseph suffered in prison in Egypt, but God was looking out for him all the way through the process. At the rejection of his own brothers, God was still with Joseph. And the way the story is going to go, I'll say it in 6 seconds, the next 4 weeks, we're going to learn about Joseph being in prison and the favor of God being upon him and him rising to prominence in Egypt and becoming second to the prime minister, really, becoming like the top dog in Egypt from a place of prison. But I want to just focus in on the rejection of Joseph. And I want you to think about how Joseph would have felt walking around in his lovely coat, and his brothers decided what they were going to do was pretend that he died. They'd sell him off to the Ishmaelites, and they covered his lovely coat in blood of an animal and gave it to their dad and said, "Your son's been taken, he's dead." His father wept. Joseph was never seen again. I want you to think about the rejection of Joseph, what that must have felt like. Genesis 45, Joseph has a really different take on it. It says, this is at the end, as Joseph meets his brothers after his brothers are starving. They come to Egypt from Israel. Joseph had every reason to take vengeance on his brothers, every reason to play the victim and to punish his brothers, because Joseph was in a place of prominence now. Joseph was a winner, and his brothers were now the losers. And he had a chance now to put them, payback time. But Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they'd done so, he said, "I'm your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed, don't be angry with yourselves for selling me here. Because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there'll be no more plowing or reaping." Verse 7, look, "God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt." Joseph was a modern day refugee, imprisoned in a foreign land, and yet he could see, "God, you've sent me here." He would not play the victim. "Oh, poor me. Oh, God, where are you? I'm in prison. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I guess I'll just go and eat some worms." That's an English rhyme little kids say. I'm sorry. That was cultural for you. He says this in Genesis 50 to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Joseph had a big view of God. And that's what I want to challenge you with. Because I don't need to ask for a show of hands as to who has ever been rejected in this room. Some of us have experienced rejection from our own spouses. Some of us have experienced rejection from our mothers and our fathers and our aunties and our uncles and our pastors and imams and priests and school teachers. Some of us have been spoken at and spoken down upon by other people groups. And we've played the victim. It's a dangerous thing to do, is to play the victim, because victims will eventually pick up a sword. But Joseph never played the victim. He suffered in prison silently and waited on God to vindicate him. And God rose him up to prominence in the country. And as we think about the rejection of Joseph, as we close, I want you to think about the rejection of another Jewish prophet. Joseph was Jewish. Jesus was Jewish. Another Jewish prophet came. Interestingly, the story of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he was rejected by his own family. They thought he was nuts when he preached his first sermon in his hometown. Luke chapter 4, Jesus says, "I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown." This was true of Muhammad in Mecca, if you remember. He wasn't accepted in Mecca, so he moved into Medina. This is true of Muhammad. It was true of Jesus. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. They listened to Jesus, the Son of God, preaching, and they said, "Nah, he's not the real deal." They rejected him. Many prophets of God are rejected. Many men and women of God get rejected. But when your picture is a big picture of who God is, you can cope with the rejection. Psalm 27 says, "Though my mother and father reject me, the Lord will receive me." Acceptance from God. I'll tell you a very quick story before I close. When I became a follower of Isa 25 years ago, I didn't grow up religious, but I had a vision of Jesus and it changed my life. My father is quite religious, Catholic religion, goes to church, blah, blah, blah. Says all the prayers, crosses himself in all the right places. My father said, "Stephen, we want you to come round." Now, look, my family are not a very sociable family. They kind of fight a lot. We don't have family meetings. That's not normal at our house. So we don't have people round it. But I got invited to my house, and I went to my house, and there was a chair in the middle of my mother's living room, and it was in the middle. And they put the chair in the middle of the living room. And I walked into the living room, and my father said, "Welcome, Stephen, sit in the chair." "Oh, okay." I was 21 years old. I just had a vision of Jesus. My life was changing before my very eyes. And I looked around my living room. I think there were some other people there who I didn't even know, but they were all sitting around facing this one chair. Huh. This was my afternoon to be rejected by my family. And this is what I was told. It's okay to be religious. It's okay to be religious, Stephen. That's okay. You can be religious. But all this talk about loving God and loving Jesus and following Jesus and experiencing experiencing God, that is going to need to stop right now. You can go to church, you can go to the temple, but you can't talk about loving Jesus. I said, Mama, Dad, brothers, sisters, these are my people that I love, like the only people I've got in the world. I said, what has happened to me in the last few months is so real, more real than alcohol, more real than sex, more real than drugs, more real than any other relationship I've had. I can never deny what has happened to me between me and Jesus. And I said, Mother, Father, I love you, I honor you, but I have to go with following Jesus. And that was the day my family rejected me, and the relationship has never been the same since. Isn't that amazing? Rejection from your own family. Yet I will say this, that God has a wonderful sense of humor, and he sends you lovely father figures even when your own father rejects you. He sends you other father figures. So lovely. And I could kiss various other people in the room, but it would be inappropriate. Okay, all right. And Jesus said these final words on the cross, the rejection of Jesus. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. So I'll close with this. I want you to really feel some of the rejection of Prophet Joseph from his own family. Feel some of the rejection of Prophet Jesus from his own family. And then look at some of the rejection that you've experienced. Here's what God told me. I've been praying about this meeting. He told me there are some of you in the room that you can see down the road rejection coming from your family. You can see it already. You've seen it coming. If you make certain decisions about your life, about your relationship with God, you know people are going to think you are crazy. But you're not crazy. Sometimes we have to face rejection. Embrace it. For some of us in the room, it's our worst feeling. My wife will tell you I've been married to my lovely Emma for 25 years. She knows me better than anyone in this room. And I may stand here as a very confident-looking man, but I'll tell you my worst fear is rejection. It's my worst fear that people will reject me, and yet my own family rejected me over following Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence here with us. And I pray that you would help us not be victims. I thank you that we can rely on you to be our fighter for us. I thank you that we don't have to fight back, that we can trust you even when we're rejected. Even in the darkest moments, thank you that you love us the way we are, but you love us enough not to leave us where we are. Bless us, I pray, as we have a discussion in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can see the questions on your sheet if you grab those. And let's have 15 minutes of discussion. And look, this is a real safe place for you. We've got visitors amongst us. But just feel free, if you feel you'd like to share something, probably the most important question.
God.